I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to yet another episode of Deuce Bags, the tennis podcast. This week, we have been rocked with the news of the Sharapova doping scandal, and this podcast is majorly going to be dedicated towards that. With me today, I have Umara, a regular, and we also have Joseph Connors, who was part of the podcast last week, and we have very special guest, the most popular, the in-demand Armando Angulo.
Oh,
welcome,
man,
to the Deuce Bags podcast.
Man, the most in demand? You're ridiculous, Sri. That is ridiculous. But thank you. You're far, far, far too kind. It's nice to get on here and talk to all you guys. A lot of you guys are, you know, my favorite people on AI, so it's nice to be on here.
Thanks. Can I just say I'm super excited to have Armando on. This is just like, I've always wanted to do this.
You guys are far, but you guys are ridiculous. You guys are ridiculous.
I think at this rate, we can count with our fingers the number of sports podcasts which Armando is not involved in.
Yeah, exactly.
That's true.
And I'm trying to whittle those down too. Don't worry. I'm going to get on there. I'll figure
He's
it out.
He's an all-rounder.
That's brilliant. This is going to be a good show, I'm sure, because this is a huge topic and it's the in thing right now. So let's just jump into it. So before we go into the specifics, let's just get your opening comments, your views when you heard it, because we did hear one day prior that there is going to be some big news. People were speculating maybe she's going to announce her retirement. She's had frequent injury problems. She hasn't played much this year. So when the news actually came in that it was something else and not the retirement, I think people were shocked. I think they had every right to be shocked. So coming to you, Joe, first. So what were your opening reactions? Because it was in your timing. She announced it in US timings, the press conference. So what were your initial thoughts?
My initial thoughts, honestly, were I wasn't shocked at all. Because I think athletes, and maybe this is just me, but I think athletes are naturally always trying to get a leg up. And I understand that to a certain degree. So when it came down, I've been on record as saying I'm not a Sharapova fan anyway. I know she's great for tennis. She's actually, I think, the highest paid athlete with her endorsements yearly. So she's a huge name, but it didn't shock me one bit. You know, baseball, American baseball, it happens a lot. We have in America, we have a lot of drug testing. We've had these problems in many sports, baseball, football, not so much basketball, not so much hockey. This drug in particular, I didn't really hear much about. We hear a lot of other ones, but no, I really wasn't shocked because I understand and I don't buy her excuse for 1 minute.
So we are going to just debate that going forward. So, Umara, your opening thoughts?
Well, I, unlike yourself, had no idea she was holding a press conference. So I was really uninformed the day before. I only realized afterwards that there was an announcement that she was going to have a press conference. And like you said, people were speculating whether she was retiring or not. I was actually on a pod at the time during the Northern Ireland pod. And Neil Devlin actually said to me, Sharapova's failed a drug test, and I didn't really register at the time. But when I finished the pod, came downstairs and watched all the news, and I was a bit shocked actually, because it's so high profile, and you know, it's never happened in tennis like this before. Maybe it's happened on the lower levels, but it's never happened like this. I mean, I would say it was akin to maybe Ben Johnson when he did it all those years ago in the Olympics, or was it the World Championships. I can't remember. I think it was Olympics. But yeah, it's really, really big news. And I just found her demeanor in the press conference a little odd. I don't know what you guys made of it. She was, at times, she was smiling. And that joke she made about the carpet at the end, I thought was really bad. I just didn't understand how you could throw that in the gravity of the situation that she'd found herself in. I found that very odd. And I found lots of people defending her on Twitter and social media. And I found that, I was like, why are people doing this? Because like yourself, Joe, I'm not the biggest Sharapova fan either. And I've always found her to be quite icy cold, not really personable. Just, she's not very endearing character to me. And the way that she presented herself in that press conference was very odd to me as well. She didn't look upset. It all looked a bit made, sort of not improvised, but, you know, just made up. So she, I don't think she came across well in that press conference at all. And some of the things she was saying, kind of things like, I didn't click on the link, or I didn't know. And these kind of really wishy-washy excuses, it just didn't. It didn't do anything for me. I'm with Joe on this one, but there's lots more points to talk about. I'm sure we'll cover them. But yeah, initially that was my reaction. But I think people's perception of, you know, this is a week after we're doing the pod, has changed a little bit now.
Yep. So Armo, this drug now, the Melodinium might soon be in contention for the word of the year with the number of people who have been caught for the same drug. So, considering this, what was your take on it? She lives in US, but the medicine as it is, or the drug as it is not available in the US. So what was your take on her explanation or your initial comments?
Well, I mean, for me, I wasn't impressed by them. I mean, it's clearly we've found out throughout this process that she doesn't need the drug. And like you said, it's not available in the US where she lives. So that's fishy in itself. From what I understand, it's similar to what we here in the U.S. would call Adderall, and that doesn't surprise me either. You know, that gets used by baseball players, like Joe said, by a lot of athletes, I'm sure, to increase their focus, their stamina, things like that. I'm sure all of this is helping her. My thing is, although it wasn't cheating leading up to, you know, this year, I mean, it's just you're getting into gray area and gray territory when you start like nitpicking and changing rules like that. Point blank, it should have been illegal, you know, in the sport for a long time, since, you know, it should have never been allowed. But I'm just more surprised by the reaction, I think, of people. I'm surprised by, you know, the grandeur of it all here in the U.S. I think Joe would attest it's not really that big of news per se. It kind of can go under the radar. There's so much going on, whether it's NFL free agency or the NBA heading into the playoffs or baseball's around the corner and spring training. There's so much going on here right now. You know, and for us that love football, you know, MLS is starting and the Premier League is in, you know, knee deep. So it's nice, but this went under the radar for us, I would say. Unless you're really an avid, a keen sports fan like Joseph and myself, you're not really catching this news. Or unless you're well connected with people around the world like we are with you guys, it really did go under the radar, I think.
That's interesting, especially considering she lives there. But Umara, sticking to what you said, you talked in depth about what she said on the press conference. So the first thing is she said it was ignorance, but ignorance is not a valid excuse. Obviously, that has been very clear that ignorance doesn't mean you're off it. But there are lots of athletes who have been caught with the same drug. And maybe it's just that now it's just switched bands from being a legal to an illegal stuff. Why? Because she clearly mentioned about that till last year when I was consuming it, this was a legal drug. And she's talked about the fact that she's needed it or has consumed this for the last 10 years on the advice of a doctor. But it seems far-fetched. Okay, you as a professional sports person with your crazy schedule don't have time maybe to go into every mail. But everybody has a support staff team. To believe that none of them actually referred to the mail seems implausible to me. So what's your take on that, especially the press conference? But in this section, let's look to cover what she said in the press conference.
Yeah, well, she said she'd been taking the drug for 10 years for conditions such as a family history of diabetes. She mentioned a irregular heart reading that she'd been having. But when I dug a little deeper, the actual people who make the drugs don't recommend that it's taken for more than 4 to 6 weeks at a time. So someone who's taken it consistently for 10 years. I mean, the other side of it is that you can say kudos to Maria Sharapova. She's been playing at the highest level of tennis with a heart condition for 10 years. It really doesn't make sense. If you look at it, it doesn't add up to me because, one, you know, you're taking it over such a long term. For 10 years, you've said you're taking it when clearly the drug shouldn't be taken for more than a certain amount of time. So that in itself raises questions. If she's got that ill as the way that she's making it out to be, then how is she playing at the highest level? It, to me, like I said, it doesn't make any sense. And to say that I didn't click on the link when you have an email from the World Anti-Doping Agency, you click on that link. You do click on that link. It's arrogant to say that I didn't click on it. And she read it. She said she saw the email, but she didn't bother to click. So, I mean, you know, there's so many questions that get raised by the way, what the excuses that she's giving. It really doesn't make any sense to me. It's actually, I mean, someone's already mentioned it's not available in the US. So that's anomaly number one. It's only available in Russia. So she's obviously been bringing it back from there. She says that she still is under the guidance of a family doctor in Russia. She moved to the US when she was 7. That was just over 20 years ago. And she's still under the guidance of a Russian doctor. This woman is a millionaire. And she's can have the best medical team that money can buy. And she's still getting guided by a doctor in Russia. That's odd in itself. I mean, you know, there's so many things here that you can question. There is one thing, if she does have a condition, I'm not saying she doesn't. I'm just saying to me, it personally doesn't add up. There may be a reason why she's taking it. She could apply for a therapeutic use exemption, which it means that if she has a medical condition, she shouldn't get any ban then, really. But that's, it depends if she's been putting those medications in her doping forms, because they all have to fill out a form when they give samples. So if she's done that, then she should be okay. But if she hasn't done that, then she's saying that she's taking a drug for such a long time for conditions that she's got, then she's in trouble, really. So, yeah, that's my take on the initial kind of thing on the drug.
But my question is, Umara, till now, let's say she's been part of regular tests, but this drug was legal till then.
Yeah, so that question has come
sure,
up.
I'm not sure whether she needs to declare legal stuff or not. I'm not aware of the rules and regulations. What do you do when you are declaring or doing the dope test? So maybe she didn't do it.
If you're on long-term medication, I think it goes on there anyway. We would need to maybe look a bit deeper into that to clarify that. But as far as I'm aware, it needs to go on there because, you know, it needs to be checked. Yes, the drug was legal until the 1st of January, but it's clearly like I said, unless she's taking it for medical reasons, which, you know, we can't 100% say she's not, but it raises questions with me anyway. I mean, Andy Murray said it really well, that, you know, she's taking the drug, she's taking a prescription drug that you don't necessarily need, but just because it's legal, it doesn't make it okay. That's how he's put it, and that made sense to me as well. Just because it's legal, you're basically people are saying that she was using it for its enhancing qualities. So unless you can prove she has a heart condition or she has something wrong with her, then it is ethically, I guess, wrong then, because okay, within the parameters of the sport, it's all legal for her, but ethically then maybe that's questionable there.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. So, Amanda, bringing you in here, you heard what Umara had to say. Anything you want to say which is in addition to what she said or anything you disagree with, you get?
Well, yeah, I mean, like she said about having exemptions and being able to fill out forms and stuff in due time and be able to get exemptions for things like this. We saw this, Joseph might be able to comment on this. We saw this last season or maybe 2 years ago with the, in baseball with the Baltimore Orioles when Chris Davis, one of their premier players, their big home run hitters, was caught using Adderall, and but he was medically, you know, allowed to use it prescribed by a doctor, but he just didn't fill out his paperwork in time, and he served a lengthy suspension. In which case, you know, that's stupid, just as stupid as this is, but at least that was found to be, you know, with reasonable cause and in time was found to be accurate. Like Amara is saying, a lot of these things aren't adding up. It seems very suspicious. You know, the drug's not available where she lives, the fact that she's under advisement by a doctor, like Amara says, all this stuff doesn't make sense for a woman of her stature. And if she did have this medical heart condition like she claims, I'm not saying she doesn't either, but it seems suspicious to me because I think we would have known about it by now. That's not something that, you know, you just are allowed to continue to play a professional sport if that's, you know, if you have an issue with your heart. That's not something that's commonplace. So I think we would have heard about things like that. So all of it for me, I'm just in the same camp as Amara. It just doesn't add up for me, and it does have to raise an eyebrow on her whole career, really.
Joe, this drug is said to improve your stamina by pumping, let's say, more oxygen in your blood. So that's what it's called as, that's where it gets classified into your performance enhancing drug. But she's come out and said she has a family history of diabetes. This is used to protect. And maybe she's from Russia, though the only puzzling thing is, though she's from Russia, she's been living in the US for years. Correct me if I'm wrong. And this is a drug which is made in Latvia. So I'm not sure. When she lives in US, what is the need to procure a drug from, let's say, Russia or Latvia? So those are the some sort of questions I have in my mind. But is the what sort of questions came up post the press conference?
I mean, for me, if it's like an Adderall, which it clearly sounds like it, it's going to help her endurance. It's going to help her stamina. And the big thing it does, same thing with baseball. You play so much that you need a little pick-me-up. And that is the perfect drug for that. This is a drug that was invented for Soviet troops in the 80s when they were fighting in Afghanistan. I mean, they were dealing with high altitudes, oxygen deprivation. That's exactly what this was for. I think the drug's inventor's name is Ivar Kalvins. I mean, I'm not sure what else she would be using it for if she wasn't trying to cheat. And I don't buy the excuse that I didn't know. She's surrounded by so many PR people and handlers. I mean, this is a woman who made $30 million last year, according to Forbes. Why would she put her whole career like that on the line? It's just so stupid. I mean, it's dumb. Like Armando said, maybe she could have got some kind of medical, you know, form to fill out and she could take this. But the only thing about that is if you know this is banned, because apparently she was told, now she denied this, but she was told before about, hey, be careful taking that drug. It may be cracked down on soon, and it was. But do you mean to tell me that there's no other drug that could treat what she has? There's so many different medications out there. In my mind, there's just no way that she was taking this just for the health problems. I mean, it's proven to help with the stamina and the endurance. And again, in like baseball, you play 162 games. It gets really, really brutal on you. Adderall, and in this case, I think it's Meldonium, if I'm saying that right, they do the same thing. I would take it too. So I understand what she was doing it for. It certainly will help, but you got to be smarter than that. When you're worth that kind of money, you have those kinds of endorsements. I just don't understand where her thought process was.
Armando, coming to you as what Joe said, is it possible, how practical it is that at an elite sports level, in which Maria Sharapova is, let's accept that she's an elite athlete, at least in tennis, is it possible that none of a support team are aware of changes into rules? Obviously, when you come into a new calendar year, there are going to be lots of rule changes. Are we coming to say none of them were aware?
I would say that's pretty damn near impossible, Sri. And if they didn't, then they all deserve to be fired. She needs a whole new team. This cannot happen. It's unacceptable. This wouldn't happen in any other walk of business. You don't just arrogantly, like Umara said earlier, you don't just arrogantly and smugly just decline to read an email, whether yourself or your PR team or any of your team, you know, is going through this. And this has to be found. That's not an excuse. Ignorance is not an excuse. You know, it just proves how arrogant she really is and her whole camp is, how she felt that she was above it all and untouchable and didn't have to, you know, read the fine print like everybody else, I suppose.
Yeah, so I don't know if all of you got a chance to read what she posted on Facebook today, where she's tried and explained that she did indeed receive mails, but the problem was it had some information like player information or something. The subject read that and you needed to go into multiple pages, maybe click a link where it would ask you for a username and password. And there, when you scroll down, there will be a section on new doping thing. And she says the information was provided, but it is not easily accessible. And with the kind of scheduling, it's not possible to check every mail is an excuse. Whether it's a valid excuse or not is another thing. But let's for a second assume it is true what she says. We don't know. Unless we get such mails, we will never ever know. But it's a question of, is information being made readily available, easily accessible? Is it even a valid point?
Well, I don't know if you guys get access to Sky out there, but Sky did a little test, say, on the news, and they clicked on the link. They went onto WADA's website, and they clicked. It was a couple of clicks. You didn't really need to – it didn't take much time. He did it in maybe 30 seconds to check whether Maldonium was banned or not. So I don't buy that. Maybe she shouldn't have gone to the fucking Oscars, and she should have maybe, you know, checked out her emails and other things that she needed to write, you know, because that does not wash with me at all, that argument. You know, she said on her Facebook page today it was buried in newsletters, websites or handouts. Take some time to look at what is sent to you. Is it important to you? You know, because then we have to question that. Is it important to you? It should be, because apparently to her, tennis is her life. That's her, you know, that's how she's made all her money and her fame and everything. So why wouldn't you take out 5-10 minutes to check these things out? I mean, Rafa's come out and said that he feels sorry for her and, you know, she missed it and it was negligence. And I think a lot of people have spoken out saying similar things, but he says that he doesn't read his emails, but he trusts his doctor to read them. And like Armando said, sack them all if that's the case. You know, that's ridiculous. How can you have the, like I said, the best sort of medical team that money can buy, and they're not checking these things for you? The thing that is the most important thing for you as an athlete, to check what is going in your body, and they're not even doing that for you. I mean, I would have thought that was the most important thing. Forget everything else. So it's a stunning excuse, to be honest with you. It really, it's just ridiculous. I can't believe that she would come out and say that. But I guess that's the only defense she has of ignorance. And she seems like quite an intelligent young woman. She runs, I don't know what, how many $1 million a year business she has. So, you know, it's just, it beggars belief, really, that you can just say, I didn't do this, or I didn't know, or I forgot, or I whatever it is. It just doesn't make any sense to me.
Okay, I'm going to stick to the point you brought up about her being an intelligent athlete, and this is to you, Joe. Lots of people, when she made the press conference and basically preempted the announcement from the WADA, basically she herself accepted, but there are a lot of comments that it took great braveness on her part to come out and say. I think the only thing is, usually, at least in this case, say it's a I was given something and it has come from someone, I use some my wife's glass or my cousin's glass, something like that. You get lots of excuses. Here she accepted, she didn't read it, but she accepted it was her mistake. So that's the only new part. But lots of people are talking about the press conference as it is being a PR stunt. Maybe she's trying to put her picture before the news, official news comes out. So what was the whole take on from your side about the press conference itself?
I think the biggest thing for me is, that's great that she apologized. I don't really give a shit. That press conference was for one thing: damage control. That's it. Because of all those high profile sponsors she has to now go and kiss their ass and just pray to whatever God, what she believes in, that she does not get suspended for a long time. Because if that happens, she's going to lose all that money, she'll lose all her credibility, and she'll lose a hell of a lot of fans. Like Umara said, I don't know how you can look at this from an objective point of view and say, oh, she made a little mistake, she didn't check her email. There's no excuses. That has to be done. You know, I don't care what she said at the press conference, what she put on Facebook, that stuff, again, that her people are telling her to do. She has the best of the best in the world at people, PR people, who should tell her exactly what she has to do now. This is just damage control for her. That's it.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. But and we have already heard sponsors suspending their contract or relationship. While there is one, I'm not sure. I think the racket sponsor, I think, has agreed.
The,
the racket head sponsor has agreed to stick by. I'm not sure what is going to happen. So, this is not new to tennis. We have had lots of cases where doping has become an issue in tennis. Biggest example being Jennifer Capriati herself, and she was seething that somebody could make such light notice of such an issue. And it makes sense. People have lost careers because of doping. Whether they intended to actually dope or not is another question. Maybe it was accident, but people have lost careers literally, or at least whatever they could have made, like Capriati. She came back and did win majors, but she lost the prime of her career, literally, you could say so. So I'm not sure how can one be so ignorant. Defense put seems so implausible. I think we are still in shock about that. Armando, what do you think? This isn't such a small issue. Maybe it's commonplace in U.S. sports, I would believe.
Yeah, it's very commonplace. I mean, a lot of careers are lost and reputations go out the window. I mean, for baseball, for example, the biggest cheater, I guess you would say, in this type of scenario was Barry Bonds. Barry Bonds, steroids, you know, his head grew, everything grew. It was just human growth hormone. And with him, I think the thing with him is he is statistically is the greatest baseball player that's ever played, offensively at least. His on-base percentage, his batting average, his power, all of it. He is the most impressive baseball player that's ever lived, but his reputation doesn't state that. He won't go down as that. People won't remember him for that. All Barry Bonds will be known for is he's a cheater. Nobody cares after that. So this is the territory that she's really getting into. So it really is a big deal if she wants to save face. I mean, it's good that she did have this press conference and this, that, and the third. But like Joe said, it's bullshit. It's just a farce. It's really just an act and trying to make herself seem like the victim when really she didn't. If she would have just followed the simple, advice or read the email and simply done what she had to do, she would never been in this predicament. And it just... It really blows my mind with her having so much to lose.
Yeah, absolutely. It's risking too much on such things. But Joe, coming to you, let's also talk about how her peers have reacted. And for me, the most surprising thing was the support actually coming from Serena Williams, who they have shared a very rocky relationship. I was really surprised. I think others were kind of on expected line, saying she should have been careful. It's negligence, ignorance. Maybe she has to suffer, etc. But the support from Serena has been unexpected. Is there anything you have read about what Serena said or your take on it?
Yeah, it was actually, that was classy by Serena. She really did back her. I mean, it's kind of surprising, although, like you said, it's been better. But Armando will understand this reference. Serena is kind of her mommy, as like Pedro Martinez, the Yankees were her daddy in baseball. I mean, she's flat out owned Sharapova, which I always enjoyed. But there was a few, like, I know Wozniacki really gave her a hard time about it. But some did come out and really, stand by her. I think Andy Murray wasn't too bad, I don't think. Nadal, I can't remember what he said, but some of them were positive, some of them were negative. I think when you're a tennis player and you're in the same circuit, sometimes you're just like, okay, well, you know, let's just stick up for her because they're kind of, it's like a brotherhood or a sisterhood. So I was surprised by what Serena said, but you know, Serena, it doesn't mean what you say in public is always what you're thinking privately.
You're listening to the Enfield in this podcast channel.
You are listening.
The Anfield Index Podcast Channel.
The Anfield Index Podcast Channel.
So, Umara, we have discussed about Serena, in fact, in the last part, about her behavior. So, this is a nice way to even talk about Serena here. So, did you read what she had to say and your take on it?
I did hear what she said, and basically she was backing her, not backing her, but just saying that, you know, it's not her fault. And she was being quite supportive. Like I said, I've read a couple of other tennis players, Andy Murray, Rafa Nadal, we've mentioned Wozniacki as well, and various other sports. Chris Wiggins has come out here, this famous cycler here, he said the same thing. And I think a lot of people have basically said, you know, she made a mistake and she needs to be punished for it. It doesn't matter you know, that even if you, worst case scenario, best case scenario for her would be, oh, I didn't read the email, and it's just still negligence, because it's a massive deal for an athlete. You need to check these things. So even if that is the excuse that they accept from her, it's still, she needs to, still needs to be banned. I think Andy Murray, with what he said, and I've mentioned his quote before, I thought that was quite strong. They were strong words from him, because he's kind of implying that she did take it for performance enhancing reasons. He kind of literally said that she didn't really need that drug. She was taking it. So just because you can take it and it's legal under the rules doesn't mean you should. So like I said, we, you know, he's maybe raising it ethically. But yeah, initially, like I said, people were quite supportive of her. But I think over the week, as people have heard these things and all the questions have been raised, and it's changed a bit for her.
Armando, coming to you, I wanted your take on it, because you said the American sports is filled with such kinds of issues. It's just a thought process which has come to me. Is the excuse of negligence basically to limit the sentence she would get in terms of suspension? Does that work, saying, yes, I did it, but I was negligent, I didn't read it? Is that helpful in reducing your ban or something?
I mean, it can be from time to time, but I think, for example, in baseball, the rules are pretty set. If you violate the first time, you get so many games. I believe it's 50 games. If you violate a second time, it's a whole year. If you violate a third time, it's a lifetime ban. So I think in the U.S., the rules are really in place and they're really strict. So I think in this circumstance, she would definitely be suspended. She would know how long she would be out for. She would know the consequence for the second time and the third time, and then she would know that that was it. I think that it seems to me, at least, that here there's a little bit of a gray area. This is obviously new to this year as far as being on the banned substance list. So all of these things are new this year. But I don't know. It just seems like it's not defined well enough in tennis, because if that were the case, this wouldn't even be that big of an issue. People would be surprised that she did it, but it wouldn't be like, oh, well, what's going to be the punishment? We would pretty much already know. There would be an appeals process and so on and so forth, but that usually is fruitless.
Joe, it's being talked about that the range might be maybe for 4 to 10 years. That's the range. And the fact that there are around 50 athletes from other sports who have been caught for the same drug, is such a big number getting caught for the same drug when it has become illegal this year. Is it helpful or a hindrance? What's your take on it?
I think it's helpful. I think maybe they, like Armando was saying, there's not really a clear picture on what tennis, as in baseball, what they would ban. I mean, maybe she needs to be the example to people. I mean, it probably happens a lot, and maybe she just got busted because it seems to me that she was pretty dumb. But yeah, the 4 to 10 years, I think that's a huge penalty. But at the same time, like I said, maybe the tennis world needs to see, hey, this is a top-notch star. She's huge. She's making all kinds of money. And then she gets suspended for that much time. Maybe that sets a big example, and they go, whoa, maybe I'll think twice about doing something stupid.
Armo, you also had some points to add, but before you come in, we would also now, I think this is the right place to talk about the impact of sponsorship losses, which we just talked a minute or two back, that already she's lost few of the sponsorships, and any other points maybe from a U.S. perspective you would want to bring in.
Yeah, I mean, the sponsorships, it's not surprising. I mean, we saw Tiger Woods lose sponsorships during his scenario. Anything that brings these athletes, these people that are in the limelight, into a negative light, it's going to affect the brand. And we're going to see her lose more and more sponsorships as it goes along, and if the longer this process goes, depending on her ban. But my question I want to pose to you guys would you guys feel like this would be the same reaction if it was a Serena Williams, per se, if it was a person of a different culture, a different race, a different background, her perception publicly in the tennis world and in the media? What are your guys' thoughts on that? Because that's really what's been racking in my head, and I've been going over, is would this perception really be the same if this was another athlete that's not, you know, of the popularity of a Maria Sharapova? And feel free, Sri, to go ahead. You could take charge with this one.
Yeah, see, let's assume if we talk about Serena Williams, at least as a specific case, my personal first thoughts are, once she's so far ahead, I'm not convinced this drug is such a differential in terms of performance. Let's say, because it's very clear the accusation is that it's a performance-enhancing drug. And Serena, there is a huge gulf between Serena and other people, at least in the women's field. I'm not convinced this drug is a performance enhancing, but I'm sure maybe the reaction, maybe it might be more popular in the US media then, maybe because she's definitely a role model for a huge generation of upcoming sports stars. She's the world number one for quite a many years. She's a US media star. So maybe I think the coverage might be more focused in the US media. What would you say, Joe? Would that be the case?
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. As a Caucasian American, I'd love to say, oh yeah, everybody would be treated the same, but I'm not naive enough to realize that. If this was Serena and she got busted, you would see, and Armando, you could probably agree with this, you'd see the African Americans versus the white people, because that's what it would turn into. And that's a shame, but that's reality. It's a shitty reality, but it is. So if she does get a lenient penalty, again, I'd like to say, you know, it's probably not because she's white, she's pretty, and everybody likes her, but that might have something huge, huge to do with it. I really don't think, because, I mean, for years, everybody thought Serena was juicing per se anyway. I mean, look at her physique. That woman's in shape. You don't hear that as much anymore, but that's another thing. Would you have heard that with her if she was a white person? I'm not so sure about that.
So, Umara, you talked about Ben Johnson before. So, he made such claims always that he was targeted and all. So, maybe you might be the best person to talk about what Arma has asked.
I don't know. But initially, the day that the press conference happened, I thought, and I did tweet this as well, that, you know, people were being rather forgiving of her. And I thought it was because she's blonde, white and pretty. And I said it because, you know, like Joe said, it is the reality of things. I don't think people would have been so forgiving if it had been Serena Williams. I think there would have been a little bit more, just a little bit more of an uproar maybe. But I do feel that that element is in there. It's obviously hidden and it's obviously not, it's not something we can prove. But you can feel it and you can feel that it's there. She's, you know, like you said, she's the most famous sportswoman maybe in the world even, and you know, her face, her cells, her body cells, everything, you know, and that all matters. And she's very, very popular, and a lot of people do like her because of the way she looks as well. So, you know, that does have a factor in it. I'm sure of it in my heart. I know that, and I, you know, like I said, I can't quantify that anyway, but I do feel that there is that factor there. A lot of people brought this up sort of on social media as well, whether or not, you know, it would have been the same if it was Serena Williams. And, you know, because obviously on social media, people say how they feel and they react and they're emotional and things like that. You know, maybe the powers that be, they can't say things like that because they have to be politically correct. But I do think that is an element, you know, in all of this. I just wanted to add another point. This is from earlier on, actually. I think one of the guys mentioned that she says she took the drug because she had a family history of diabetes. A lot of people have a family history of diabetes. My husband has a family history of diabetes. He doesn't take anything. So I just wanted to add that point in. it means nothing. Yeah, it does. You just eat well and you exercise, which I'm sure she does anyway. So that really doesn't make any sense to me.
And diabetes have lots of other drugs. Maybe you could say there's nothing to say. Only this drug works.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, nothing to suggest. It's all very dodgy to me.
There's just this whole case seems to be filled with such like literally unfathomable issues or excuses. Yeah. But Joe,
I was hoping somebody was going to stick up for her on this pod. And we could have a bit of an argument. We're all agreeing here. This is not how I thought it would be.
Let's at least try to keep the bashing to a limited extent till we actually get to know. But Joe, sticking to the whole sport of tennis, what does this do? We have had accusation of match fixing recently, which has come a month or two back. Now we have this one of the biggest, I think, in terms of the status of the player, and the coverage in the media with the social media and the amount of money she makes, I think this has to be the biggest doping scandal in the sport of tennis, easily by a country mile. So what does this do to tennis?
I think it's a huge black mark for tennis. Tennis is definitely more, it seems that it's more popular in other countries than it is the United States, but it does have a huge following here. But stuff like this is what turns people away from sports. You know, that's the biggest part in this. You know, little kids, their parents see this and they're like, oh, well, do you really want to play tennis? This is the kind of media portrayal, and this is what they're showing you. This is terrible. I mean, she's a lot of children, especially young women. That's their idol. And then you found out that she's been drugged. She's been taking PEDs for the last 10 years. That's a huge black mark on the sport. It's no good for it. And a sport that in the U.S. is lagging far behind the other ones, that's big trouble.
Armando, tennis as a sport is so individual focused. It's so personality driven. So a person like Sharapova getting caught, let's say instead of Sharapova, it was some, let's say, 100th ranked player getting caught. There's a huge, huge difference in the terms of the outbreak in the media and the outpouring of emotions or abuses in the media is going to be so different. So can an individual like Sharapova getting caught in such thing cast aspersions on the whole sport itself? Now people are going to be looking at maybe in a different light the sport itself?
I think it does two things, Sri. I think it could do that. Yes, absolutely. It could always be a negative, like Joseph said, if we want to take it in that fashion and see it as, like in the U.S., Joe said, it's not the most popular of sports. And if this is what's going to happen and this is the perception and the environment that's going to be brewing in tennis, then maybe it is, you know, something that parents avoid. But also, this can be a lesson for tennis. This can be, she can be, like Joe said earlier, she could be the example. They can clean up the sport a little bit. They can make, the rules a little bit more defined, the punishment a little bit more defined, and this can give them the ability to actually, you know, form a structure and lay the foundation to what can really be a system that really works for this anti-doping stuff. Because what we've seen so far is a lot of gray area. And if it was, like you said, Sri, if it was the 100, 150, 200th ranked tennis player in the world, maybe it wouldn't give, you know, tennis the incentive to really crack down and really try to change the image of the sport and really try to clean it up. So it can be a positive. And I think that hopefully, you know, this is a positive, and then the sport can take this negative and turn it into a positive and spin it in a way that it can be them cleaning up the sport and them bettering it for future generations. I think at least that's my take.
Umar, a couple of questions to you. The first question is obviously what Joe and Armando have answered in terms of what it does to the sport of tennis. But I'm also going to carry on with what Armando said. So is the WADA and ITF are going to make her case as an example, which means she might get more punishment but access a deterrent? Or are they going to encourage stuff like players coming out, maybe declaring more stuff, being the whole process of testing and doping becoming more transparent so she gets away with a lenient sentence? So two questions here, but the second question I'm going to come to the others, obviously.
I think it might even be good for tennis because, you know, having such a high profile athlete who's been caught, shall we say, I think it might then just be, you know, it's good for the, it's showing that there's control there and that, the, you know, the control isn't just with the lower ranked players, it's at the top level as well. And to show that someone of her status can be tested and caught and punished even. We'll have to wait and see what it is that the punishment that she gets. I think it might even have a good sort of impact on the sport. Right, regarding her ban, I think, you know, she should get, you know, they should make an example of her. That's my personal opinion. But however, whether they do or not is a different matter. I mean, you know, they've said that her legal team are trying to get her to maybe get a ban between 0 and 2 years, which is the kind of minimum that she can get, because it's they're arguing that it's just negligence or, you know, she didn't check the email or whatever excuse they're using. But that's what they're looking at. But you know, I wouldn't be surprised if they stretched it a little further, because, you know, this kind of thing and the sort of the amount of publicity it's gotten, maybe not in the US, but over here, it's been quite big, that it needs to, they need to show that they can nip this in the bud, so to speak, and get this problem sorted out. I mean, obviously drugs in sport is never going to be completely eliminated, but these kind of high profile cases, sometimes they do make examples of those athletes. So, you know, we'll have to wait and see what she does, what happens to her, but I wouldn't be surprised at all.
Joe, this being, you can obviously answer the same question, but an additional point being, this being a new drug on this year's list, does it help her in any regards?
No, I think I said earlier, I think the ban should be long. I think she should throw the book at her, make an example of her. It doesn't matter when they made it a rule. She knew they sent her the email. It's up to you to do it. It doesn't matter if you're a high profile athlete. I don't care who you are. She had a job to do, and it probably wasn't even her. It was probably, like I said, one of her handlers. She's surrounded by so many people. The only thing you had to do is check that list. They have these in all sports. She had one job to do. She fucked it up, and now she should pay for it.
I think that's very pretty clear what Joe wants. So, Armando, you agree with what Umara and Joe said, that she should be made an example, or do you think she would get away with the lower end of the ban, considering her high-profile status?
No, I think I'm definitely in agreement with them. I think they should throw the book at her, and I think they will. I think they have to make an example of her, you know, because tennis – Like Joe said earlier, the popularity isn't exactly there with maybe some other sports, at least here on this part of the world. So it would be important for them and imperative for them to really make an example of her.
And it's damaging to tennis as well, what's happened. So that to maybe give her a longer ban and make an example of her is some way of maybe rectifying that.
Yeah, for sure. I agree with that.
Yeah.
So, this is a question open to all of you. Maybe Joe, you could come in here. What does this do to Eastern European tennis players? Because they are coming in by the dozens now. Most of the popular young players are seemingly from the Eastern European nations, and this drug seems to be prevalent there. So what does this do to their future? Are they going to be looked at a different light?
I think if this ban comes down and it comes through, I think they're going to be really thinking about it, like, okay, this is something I really need to pay attention to. We can't just skate over this. You know, it's just crazy. It's crazy that she wouldn't be banned. And the kids who are coming in from Eastern Europe, they have to really take notice of this. This is your career. You know, it's not like you can play tennis and then you're going to become a CEO of some company and make the same kind of money. You're playing a child's game for millions of dollars. That's what's at stake. So if you're that dumb to not check, to not keep up on this stuff, I don't know who raised you.
Armando, we have seen that many cases in Eastern Europe, and your coach happens to be your father, or your agent happens to be your father. Your father leads the support team. So what does this do to young players who are not exposed to such a ton of information or exposed to so much new stuff happening? They are just at this beginning of the career, they are just focused towards playing the game, which is very fair. There is a team to handle certain stuff and they should be handling it. But we don't know such young players, how vast they have support teams. How, when we are talking about a player like Sharapova, talking about negligence at her level, it is far more apparent that this could be a reality maybe at young players' level from Eastern Europe.
I think this is going to definitely affect that. It's going to definitely open their eyes, and not just for players, you know, from there, but also I think globally, anybody trying to get into the sport, it really is going to make sure that you know, mind your P's and Q's and you're on top of what's going on, because I think it's really simple to be caught up in the whole, you know, getting caught up in the media hype, or if you're an athlete on the rise, a young tennis player on the rise, and you're getting this buzz around you, it's easy to get caught up in that. But at the same time, you got to really, you know, put your head down, focus, and trust your people around you. Like I said, this is as much Sharapova's fault as it is, you know, her team's fault, and they should be held responsible as well, and they should get the sack, like Umara said. So I think you do have to trust these people, but at the same time, if you got the email personally, it behooves you to go through it yourself. There's no real excuse, Sri. I think this is going to impact everything going forward for tennis, and that's a good thing. And I do think it's going to open the eyes for players around the world trying to, you know, get into the sport and get to the highest level to mind all the rules and to pay attention, because the lengthier her ban is, the better it's going to be for tennis, I think, really.
Umara, your turn. Your take on this?
Yeah, I think, you know, she needs to... they need to make an example of her. They need to show the world that they're not going to put up with this, and they're not going to sort of, you know, they're going to stop this, basically. And because she's so high profile, this is their chance to show that they're going to do that. And, you know, I think, in a funny way, it might even have a good impact on the sport. And, you know, people are going to learn from it. Maybe those ones that were a little bit slack and they weren't paying attention to their emails, and they will be doing it now. So from her loss, you know, people will kind of gain from it. So yeah, it's not a nice situation for her, but in the long run, I think it will, you know, will benefit a lot more people.
So staying with you, Umara, the last section, the last couple of questions we are into now. So she's talked about the fact that she hopes that her career doesn't end here. She's indicated that she wants to play, but considering her age and considering the duration of the prospective ban, is it fair to say we have seen the last of her, or you think she will be back?
Oh, I guess it all depends on the ban. But, I mean, if she gets even 6 months to a year, I can't see her coming back. I mean, I think her tennis is the least of a worry. She's lost all credibility now. She's, you know, reputation's in... I don't care what people say. People will say that the brand Sharapova is still alive and kicking. Maybe, I don't know. But she, to me, she's lost a lot of, respect from people. So that's, you know, that's maybe what she needs to focus on a bit more, maybe on that side. But... you know, if she gets a year ban, I can't see her coming back from it, because it would mean, you know, her wouldn't have played any competition for a whole year. Then she would have to return, and it takes a long time to come back. And I don't know. I don't see it personally, but it all depends on the ban. If they're lenient with her, possibly she might make a comeback. But then, you know, she's lost all credibility. She's lost the respect of her peers, which is very important as well. Fans, I mean, her diehard fans will love her to the end, no matter what. We all do it. God forbid if this was Federer, I'd probably be clutching at straws somewhere here. But, you know, that's just human nature. But yeah, like I said, it depends on the ban. If they're very lenient with her, possibly she could come back. But, you know, she's lost a lot of love from people, I think.
Armando, have you seen the last of Sharapova? What's your take?
Yeah, I'm probably gonna be in the camp of she's done. Like Amara said, it's more her reputation, her credibility. You know, her brand is gonna take a hit, regardless of what anybody says. Her popularity is gonna diminish, even if it's 6 to 12 months. But I'm expecting it to be much longer than that. I think it's gonna damage her. I mean, once you're out of the public eye, it's over, out of sight, out of mind. And we've seen that with a lot of sports figures. We've seen that with a lot of actors and people that are in the media. So I think it's really gonna impact her financially. It's going to impact her brand. Her credibility is already shot. I don't think there's much left of Maria Sharapova, to be quite honest.
Joe, we have seen players like Hingis making a late comeback into career, though it's predominantly in doubles. Is that a possibility looking, or she's going to be looked at differently anyways, even if she makes a late comeback into, let's say, doubles?
Yeah, I mean, there's a possibility, but I think those guys hit nail on the head with it's the credibility of her. I think her doing all these Facebook posts and the press conference is more for her business in the future. I mean, she's 28. How much longer is her tennis, you know, really going to go at a high level? It's probably not going to go very far. I think the one thing that Amara said that really struck a chord with me is her really dedicated fans. And I kind of want to bring up, it's a quick story, so bear with me. There's a LFC account, a guy on Twitter. I used to follow him, but it's stuff like this that it cracks me up how people react when one of their big, I guess, whatever you want to call them, tennis heroes, he was, when this went down, he sent out a tweet saying, anybody who says anything bad on my timeline about Sharapova, you're getting automatically blocked. And I thought to myself, what a dickhead. Like, why? I mean, I don't understand that thought process, but there's always going to be those kind of fans. So she will have her following all the time. But I think this was more for her credibility, and she doesn't want to take a huge hit. She's got a lot of money at stake.
So the last question, and I just want one number from you. So Joe, sticking with you, how long is she going to get?
Me personally, I think it should be a lifetime ban. What I think she's going to get is a year. I think all the press conferences, the Facebook posts, I think that's just damage control. I think that's what she was told to do. I don't even think she's probably not even really sorry for it. I don't even care that it was just put on the ban list. She was doing it knowingly. She's been doing it for 10 years. She kept doing it. Not checking your email is not a good excuse. Again, lifetime ban for me.
That's pretty strong. So, Armando, you have talked about people getting chances, maybe first occurrence, second occurrence. So how long do you think she will get?
I think a lifetime should probably be the case, but I'd say she should get 10 years, which is essentially a lifetime, but I think probably 5 is what she gets. I think that's fair. It's just, and essentially, I still think her career's over, yeah.
Umara, do you really think she gets 5?
No, I don't think she'll get 5. I mean, although we can, I think everyone can see through the bullshit, really, but they're going to have to do it by the letter of the law, and by that, unless they can prove something otherwise, which will be interesting to see, but I think she'll get 2 years. I'd be very surprised if it was anything less than that. If it was anything less than that, I'd have even more questions.
That's what my initial thought was, between 2 and 4. That's what
but
I thought.
Even if she gets 2 years, I think she's done then. She's going to be 30. Yeah, absolutely. Then. She's still going to be
had
done.
So many injuries recently. I think she would lose. So I think we have talked, I think, extensively on Sharapova. But before we close, any plugs? Armando, I think you've been busy. You've been on every show possible. So which all shows are you going to plug, actually?
I'm just going to really plug two things. The Seventh Inning Stretch podcast with me and Justin Wells. We talk baseball. So if anybody out there is into baseball or wants to learn about the sport, the season's about to start. We're in the preseason right now, spring training, and we're covering all the divisions and giving everybody a little bit of a background. So if you guys are interested in learning about it or are into baseball already, please give us a follow and listen to that. That we would appreciate that. All feedback, all interaction is great. We love you guys' questions and stuff like that. Also, my second plug would be World Football Index. You could follow us on Twitter as well at World Football I. Dave Karen from the Brazil North Ireland pod, you guys know him well. James Nalton, who writes for the site and amongst other things, and myself have really been plugging away and working really hard on that site and getting articles in there and trying to do a lot to expand that site and the content there. We've had Tim Bickery on, we've had Tom Marshall on, and a lot of other good journos and stuff. So if that's your thing, world football and a different aspect, by all means, please check us out. We would appreciate that. And then thank you guys for having me. This was a lot of fun. It was a different change of pace for me. It was something I don't really get to talk about much, and it was nice, and I appreciate you guys doing this for me.
No problem, Armando. Always welcome. We hear different perspectives. We love to hear different perspectives. So, Joe, anything you are doing currently? Any podcasts, any writing, if you are doing any?
We should have a AI Brazil podcast sometime next week. Don't know exactly the time or the date, but that was talked about. And the second thing is the Android is now available for the Anfield Index app. So everybody who has Android, get on that. And Armando, just want to say I love WFI, man. It's awesome.
Thanks, Joe. I appreciate that, man. Really do.
No problem.
So Umara, plugs.
I was on the Northern Ireland pod a couple of days ago, which was very interesting, with a bunch of drunken Irishmen.
They were drunk. It was great. they were drunk.
They were a little bit. I was the only sober one there. But yeah, that was quite fun. So if you want to have a listen to that. And yeah, I just want to echo everything Armando and Joe have said. WFI, I know Dave and Armando and James put loads and loads of work into that. I know that firsthand. So yeah, give those guys a follow and to listen to their pods and read their articles. And I just wanted to say get well soon to Dan Rhodes and his little boy who aren't feeling too well at the moment, which is why Dan couldn't join us today. So just feel better, Dan, really.
I think my only shout is what Joe has given, the Android app. This show, the show you're listening to, should be available in the new app on Android. So get downloading. The numbers are going to be amazing, I'm pretty sure. And huge shout out to Gags in putting this Android app out, because I know personally, as being a beta tester, how much effort it's taken, repeated cycles of testing. We have given feedback and he's been very prompt in fixing the issues at the earliest. So I think, as a shout out to Gags, I think the only thing we can help him with is downloading this app. So please download the Anfield Index AA channel app on Android. And that's our app. Thanks to you for listening. Thank you.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads. Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.